accession number 17300, reel 3.
That you did in relation to the V1 sites?
Yes. Well, of course, the fighters but we bombed, because we could do so accurately, many V1 sites. We now had two squadrons, 109, the one that started it all, one that did over 130. 100 was almost common. The Mosquito was high and fast. And knew that we had to get okay. Both setting up a Montpanson and then near Paris itself. But once we'd got the which were going to be needed to man the convoys, because we still had to keep up. It had been a station which was used in some of the early trials. Aircrew who had experienced aircrew to become controllers. Out as the armies advanced. British armies and American armies. The use of the word Americans were so impressed by our bombing, and they didn't bomb at night, as you know. produced a particular valve, a magnetron valve, which was absolutely crucial to our requirements. We were very close. American aircraft were used to lead formation took the oboe right up to the point at which they could see the target, and then they switched it off and used their They also used great admirers of the system. Well, I think that's about the story. To Pathfinder headquarters for the last month or two of the war. Talk to Air Vice Marshal Bennett and people like that, Obama Command or whatever. Certainly there were no
When you were describing how the CAT station was keeping the aircraft on,
and the dots and dashes that were sending would merge at that point. Yes, sorry. To go from his aerodrome to short of the beam than to fly on and come back again. So normally he started with dots, but it could have been the other way around.
What were the main problems that you faced in doing your job?
You had to be absolutely precise. Grabbed it. It was marked out in miles, 5 miles and 10 miles. Series of checks. The WAF would always, a WAF would always check my settings. They were very clever girls. Dangerous waters under pressure themselves. So crews we tried to train really hadn't good enough mathematics to So not all that came to my school would I allow to go forward into increasing rapidly. We started at Trimmingham and Warmer, two stations each.
Lewis?
No. It's on the coast.
Polegate?
No. Can't remember. We can match them up in pairs depending where the targets were. And I remember Bennett, Air Vice Marshal Bennett, who was my boss, of course, made correctly. If there are any doubts, whatever, replace the people, whatever, get help them to RAE. No, but it was just before the invasion. He was making sure that everything I had to do a full-scale inspection of every station to make sure it was in good working order. The war was over, you know. Totally concentrated on that. I want to comment on that. They were efficient on the night, the invasion, I can tell you that. Go and drive all their cars into a precipice. What the dickens is it called?
Beachy Head.
The most extraordinary airman I've ever come across in my life. Right at the beginning, he'd test them himself. He was an extraordinary man. Because he was he did great things for the bomber forces. He had a lot of opposition, of course. He had the authority to get their best crews. They were rows. He had the authority.
Did you get to know any other VIPs at that time?
You're full of secrets. They mustn't ever get out. We worked closely with the air crew. I don't think I met anybody of top rank in those days. We were bombed once, but their main weapon jamming, and TRE knew it would get jammed. Lasted quite a long time before it was jammed, but when it was jammed, it was jammed. In the bombing aid, it was the same thing. It was still a cat and a mouse, and but how they measured the ground speed and all those. Valve, don't know enough about it actually, but that was operating at a ground stations were bombed except Trimmingham, but at any rate we had no casualties, I can't remember that. Well, I wasn't particularly well qualified before the war. I had been trained as a teacher. In those days, you taught everything. So I, and I'd had school certificate, high school certificate, so, and I was interested in mathematics. I had to take my degree after the war. Most navigators they'd also, of course, always been trained in navigation, and so we could do a little bit of bringing them up to date or whatever. But in wartime, you had to learn on the job, and what you hadn't, we didn't feel equipped with, you got stuck in to do it.
What was your degree in after the war? What did you research in Loughborough?
Well, it was developing whole industry of craftsmen and technicians and professional engineers. Needs were changing often. Training in the engineering industry, and I was a chief executive eventually. Engineering Industry Training Board was its name.
I'd like to go back to the early part of your life.
Six pits on which the town lived, and one town lived on. And in 1926, when we had because their wages had been reduced by 1 3/8 a week. 1 3/8 a week, yes. the strike spread from mining because they wanted the when I went to meet my sister coming back from school, she was older than I, and the miners stormed the buses. ...90% of the men population who were just rotting. I went to school in Shildon to start with, and then I won a scholarship to the ground. And to escape to Bishop Auckland, which was 3 miles away. Who was a shoe preparer, in which he employed one or two men repairing shoes, and they started to sell shoes. And never came into a shop and paid for something. It was always on the slate. Pairs or buy new shoes. So father sold them from the time. In and said, if you don't go back to work, the and those pits in Shildon never opened again. So right through the end of the 20s. Training college, it was a very, very, very depressed area. It was able to pay off his banks. Mother sent me 5 shillings a week when I went. The family, I suppose college in 1937, there were 2 of us out of 500 men that got a job. He said, you will either be a teacher or work for the council. In college, and both got teaching jobs. the house for £500, paid off the debt to the bank, and came to live with us. Father never worked again from about 2000. I mean, mines do flood if they're not pumped out all the time, and there weren't any pumps working because there weren't any men there. The war, which was certain to come, started flying, which I mentioned earlier on. But not unhappy. I mean, as kids, you're not unhappy. You get on with your life. But we never had two pennies to rub together, really.
You were telling me about the political commitment of your parents.
Oh, yes. Well, Father, you see, people who ran shops and ran businesses voted Liberal. I don't think there was ever a Conservative candidate. Late 20s, early 30s, was it MacDonald?
Yes, 1929-31.
Voted solid Labour, I suppose.
Was there anything like the Jarrow Hunger March in your area?
In this desperate situation in his business, got the contract for the boot fund. The boot fund was where kids couldn't go to school because they hadn't any boots. Father with grants from the local authority. That's how that. And children did stay away from school from being no boots. And I remember being very upset with Mother because she wouldn't let me go to the soup kitchens. Not that I needed soup or anything like that, but all the other kids went to the soup kitchens, and why couldn't I go to the soup kitchens? People who nowadays talk about poverty and deprivation haven't the slightest idea of what it really means. There was real poverty, and men seemed to rot away.